English Standard Version. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then I read it in the Amplified Bible. I don't read the Amplified that much, but I really love when it amplifies. You have it, Nancy? And I wrote it. We have it on the board. Listen to what the Amplified says. Same verse. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things, center your mind on them, and implant them in your heart. Isn't that beautiful? The Amplified really amplified Philippians 4:8, and I think it's why? Why does God go to such extent to tell us how we're supposed to think and what we're supposed to think of? You think maybe he has to say that because we're not thinking the way we're supposed to? Why is he telling us how to think if we were doing it all right, or if the world was doing it all right? You know, I said this is a very difficult message to bring today because I'm going to say things that I don't want to say. I've researched and I've read numerous accounts and numerous letters and testimonies of doctors and so forth, of the material we're going to talk about, and tried to pick out the ones that I hope will be bring an understanding to this. But I feel like, and I didn't get this till the other day, you know when the prophets of God said when they started to pray, they prayed for themselves, but they prayed for the sins of the nation. They brought the sins of the nation before God. And that's what I feel like we're doing today. Because we're living in a sinful nation. The prophet said, I have unclean lips and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. So let's just ask God to help us understand what he's trying to say to us today. Father, thank you for this word. God, only you can amplify something to our hearts. And I love the last part of that verse. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. For it's with the heart that man believes. And so, God, let the word of God go deep into our hearts today. You said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And we take you at your word today, God. Don't let your word pass away. Let this scripture, God, come to our minds. Let us think about these things. As we give you thanks and praise, let your Holy Spirit minister to us today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. We're living in a country today that has become the funnel for an open cesspool. An unseen sewer line of filth into every state in our country. And the stench of this filth can be smelled in practically every community. We live in a country that is booming with technology. It's glittering with gold, and yet it's up to its neck in garbage. Someone has said, not since Manhattan Island was sold for $24, can you imagine that, has so much dirt been available for so little money as today. We have become a people who would not dare to put garbage in our mouth, yet we are rushing to put garbage into our minds. Who would have dreamed that the richest country in the world, the most economically advanced nation on earth, that one of the biggest businesses would be peddling filth. Pornography today is an $8 billion business. And incidentally, 85% of this multi-billion dollar business is controlled by organized crime. How much is $8 billion? Well, pornography makes more money than the legitimate film and record industry combined. It makes more money than the movie industry and the music industry combined. What we're talking about is big, big business. Now, I want to say right up front that sex is a beautiful thing. It is a creation of God. It is a gift of God to men and women. But just as man has polluted God's world that was originally given in cleanliness and purity, man has polluted God's gift of sex, which was also given in cleanliness and purity. There are two things that we need to understand about pornography. Number one, pornography is sexual perversion. It is a perversion of something pure into something filthy. As a matter of fact, when we think about it, all sin is perversion. Profanity is a perversion of pure speech, is it not? And yet we take that so much for granted sometimes. Some things come out of our mouth, even though the scripture says, let no vain or proceed out of our mouth. Or we hear things. We hear people using the Lord's name or using profanity, and it's okay with us because we went to a movie and they could use that F-bomb 15 times or whatever, and we're okay with that. But the scripture says, you know, profanity is a perversion of pure speech. I don't know, but I don't want to be a part of that. Homosexuality is the perversion of a close friendship between two people of the same sex. Pornography is simply a perversion of sexuality. And one of the reoccurring themes in pornography is what they call sadomasochism. And what this is a form of deviancy that depicts sexual pleasures from inflicting pain on their partners. There are magazines in every city in America that depict sex, emphasizing chains, torture, whips, spikes, homosexuality, group sex, even child sex. Law enforcement officials estimate that each year as many as 1 million children, ranging in the age from 16 to less than 1 year old, are sexually molested, and then they're filmed or photographed for pleasure or for profit. Some of these things that I'm going to read make me sick. I hope they make you sick. One magazine shows toddlers in sexual acts with adults. And there are audio tapes that you can buy that record the screams of a little girl being raped. Pornography is the perversion of sex. You can almost say sex is the beauty, pornography is the beast. Sex is Dr. Jekyll. Pornography is Mr. Hyde. Pornography is also sexual obsession. The assumption that underlines all pornography is that sex does not need to be related to love or morality or responsibility. Sex is a purely animal act designed to satisfy purely physical desires. You do whatever turns you on, even if it turns someone else off. Put simply, pornography is the outward expression of an inward idolatry. The God is sex and perversion. The Bible is pornographic magazines. The high priests are people like Hugh Hefner. And the ministers are those men and women everywhere who sell this material or take part in any distribution of it. So let's identify. Let's define what pornography is. And I gave you notes, but you don't even have to write one thing. I wrote it all out for you. The Langford Report defines pornography as the following. The commercial exploitation of sex designed to stimulate sexual excitement with special reference to abnormalities and perversion. When I speak of pornography, I do not distinguish between soft core or hardcore pornography. We've gotten so sophisticated in our society, we try to distinguish between a crime within a crime. Have you ever read a newspaper that described a murder as particularly brutal? You know what? It doesn't matter whether a fellow is murdered by chopping his head off or by shooting him very cleanly through the head. All murder is brutal. Likewise, I do not distinguish between soft core or hardcore pornography. Pornography is pornography. And pornography is dirty and filthy and perverted and wrong. Whether it's soft or whether it's hard. A soft bullet will kill you just as easily as a hard bullet. A dull knife will kill you just as easily as a sharp knife. Even the word pornography has a very interesting, it's a very interesting word. It comes from the combination of Greek words, the Greek word porno, P-O-R-N-E, and the Greek word graphos. The word porne means a harlot or a prostitute. And the word graphos is the word from which we get the word graphic or a graph. And it means to write or depict graphically. So the word literally means to write about or to graphically depict the life and the actions of a harlot, of a prostitute. In other words, it means to depict graphically the use and abuse and perversion of sex in any form or fashion. That is what we mean by pornography. So let's look at the destruction of pornography. We're being sold a bill of goods today that tell us that pornography is a harmless exercise. It's a harmless pastime. We ought to have the right to look at it if we choose. You should not enforce your morality on me, and you should not have any say as to what I want to look at. Well, I'll tell you this. There is not a more destructive force to the life and soul of America itself than the filth and the dirt of pornography. It destroys everything it touches. It destroys philosophically. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says this, as a man thinks within himself, or in his heart, so is he. That is, you are what you think, and you think what you see. Now, there are those who say, well, what you see really doesn't affect how you think, nor does it affect how you act. They believe that. Well, if that's true, then why will advertisers spend millions of dollars for a one-minute advertising during the Super Bowl if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't know what they see is going to affect, therefore, what they do? Jesus said, what you see will affect how you think. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. He said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That is, what you see affects how you think. And how you think affects how you act. Someone has put it this way. Sow a thought, you reap a deed. Sow a deed, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny. But it all begins with a thought. Okay? How many remember the story of the flood in Genesis chapter 6? You remember that? Did you read that? and how God destroyed the human race. He destroyed the human race except for 8 people. You remember why God did that? Remember why he did it? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, look at what it says. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Incredible, isn't it? God saw the hearts of men. They were evil continually. That is a perfect description of pornographer. I read what Dr. Melvin Enchel, a psychiatrist, said, and he said this, and he asked the question, why should anyone want to outlaw obscene movies? And he quoted from a Los Angeles television commentator who editorialized after the end of his broadcast, and he said this, these motion pictures have come under severe criticism by some people who are disturbed by the presentation of certain sexual activities. Okay, let them express their opinions, and if they don't like them, fine. Let them stay away from them. But do they or I have the right to keep someone else from going to see these shows if it turns them on and if they enjoy them? This commentator believed that he was voicing an objective opinion concerning pornography. But would he question the right to choose to close down a restaurant that was serving patrons contaminated food? His point of view and others like him, which advocate public acceptance of pornography, rises in some measure from the premise that pornography causes no social or individual harm. But Dr. Anchel says, but in my medical opinion, this assumption unrelentingly promotes the pornographer is fallacious. It's incorrect. The adverse effects of audiovisual obscenities permitted in today's entertainment media is sexually devastating to children and adults. The belief that pornography is unsuitable mentally fair for children, but it's harmless for adults, is illogical. It's like saying that the human being suddenly becomes immune to poison at age 18. Dr. Anchel goes on to give a case history. A young boy named Marty came to him for treatment of recurring headaches. And talking with him, he said, I finally got out of him to reveal his real problem. His problem started 4 years ago when he was in junior high school. One afternoon, his 12-year-old friend invited Marty and some other friends over to his house to see a movie that his parents had bought and had shown at an adult party. Since every child's ambition is to prove that he can act like an adult, this boy had an eager audience. The movie turned out to be a hardcore pornography, graphically depicting sexual intercourse with every type of perversion. After the initial embarrassment, the children were completely seduced. They attempted to outdo the adults in the movie right then and there. Marty told me that his early promiscuity began then and ceased, for he no longer got a kick out of it. His problem was that he was impotent for sexual stimulation, and he now needs just drugs. At present, he's a school dropout, finding pleasure in drug-induced sexual fantasies. This is Dr. Anchel's prognosis of this young man. Is there any chance that Marty will ever return to any kind of sexual normality? It is highly impossible. Let me tell you why. Dr. Victor Klein, psychologist from the University of Utah, said 4 things occur in people who become immersed in pornography. The first is an addiction effect. The individual gets hooked on the material. The porn addict has to come back for more and more, like a drug addict has to come back for more and more of a fix. University of California professor said experiences at times of emotional or sexual arousal get locked into the brain and become virtually impossible to erase. Dr. Klein says the next effect is an escalation effect. In order to get a sexual thrill, the pornographer must continue to view rougher and more deviant sexual behavior. Then there's the desensitizing effect. What was once shocking now becomes commonplace. And the addict needs a rougher and more deviant, more perverted sexual conduct to find any satisfaction. And then finally, he must act out his fantasies. He may even ask his partner, his wife, to perform perverse acts such as those he has seen in a magazine. Dr. Klein goes on to say, the sexual drive in a human being is basically healthy. I am convinced that sex is a great healing bond that pulls a man and a wife together and is therapeutic for a marriage. But I find that pornography is anti-sexual. It gives misinformation about sex. It is sex miseducation. Not only does it not promote healthy sexual relation, but it may actually disturb the relation between men and women. In other words, Dr. Klein is saying when the pornographer gets what he wants, very soon he will no longer want what he gets. It is also destructive socially. It's destructive socially. A professor at Harvard University wrote in his book, in which he said, Americans are victim of a sex mania as malignant as cancer and as socially menacing as communism. He said there are between 260 and 280 monthly magazines that cater to pedophiles, people who get their kicks by looking at nude bodies of children 8 years old and younger. These magazines are full of stories telling their readers that all women and children secretly desire sex, and then to seduce them or to rape them, to them, it's doing them a favor. They even suggest that when a victim resists by screaming, their screams are screams of pleasure, and in a matter of minutes, those victims will become willing and passionate lovers. This is how sick this is. There's another sick society in Los Angeles, California, named the Rene Gayon Society, which has over 5,000 supporters, including doctors and parents, believe that young children should experience sex, and their slogan is, sex by year 8 or else it's too late. This is sick. Well, what I'm going to tell you now is even sicker. And I even saw this on television this week. Police department investigating this, what I'm just going to tell you. There's an organization called the North American Man-Boy Love Association, NAMBLA, a gay liberation group which advocates and defends sex between young boys and men. It's there. Pornography is a cancer that is producing sexual perverts, that is devastating the traditional family unit, and that is eating at the very roots of our country. There was a Detroit police officer investigator that says, there has not been a sex-related murder in the history of our department, but that the murderer was an avid reader of lewd material, lewd magazines. Charles Keating was the founder of Citizens for Decency Through Law. In a report to the State Judiciary Committee, said that 77% of child molesters of boys and 87% of molesters of girls admit imitating sexual behavior that they had seen modeled in pornography. It destroys domestically. UCLA professor said this, hostility is the essential dynamic of pornography. God meant for the sex act to express between a man and his wife. He uses that to show the great holy love of Christ towards us. If a man saturates his mind with pictures of rape and torture and murder in sex, how is that man likely to treat his own wife? What will he do to his children? Your family is not immune. You may think they are, but they're not. X-rated films are attracting audiences in the millions, according to the newspaper electronic media. And this weekly publication estimates there are 1 million subscribers to cable systems offering pornographic films. 70% of all pornography ends up in the hands of minors. And 75% of all pornography is prepared for people under the age of 18. Friend, pornography has hit the drugstore, it's hit the bookshop, and it's coming into our homes. It is destructive nationally. No nation can survive when it is sinking in a sea of filth. A British social anthropologist several years ago, in studying the birth and death of civilizations, in his book, Sex and Culture, he said, "The energy which holds society together is sexual in nature. When a man is devoted to one woman and one family, he's motivated to build, save, protect, plan, and prosper on their behalf. However, when his sexual interests are dispersed and generalized, his efforts is invested in the gratification of sexual desires. Any human society is free to display great energy or to enjoy sexual freedom. They cannot do both for more than one generation. History reveals that entire societies deteriorated when free love reaches the position of social acceptance." And I wrote this down. I almost put this on a sign on our board. And I think I got it in your notes. No nation in the history of the world has survived sexual deviancy. America will be no exception to the rule. It destroys spiritually. Pornography denies the purity of sex. It takes a beautiful creation of God and it drags it through the filthiest, perverted dirt that Satan himself can dredge up. It denies the privacy of sex. It denies the fact that sex was meant to be a private expression of one man and one woman expressing their marital love to one another. It denies the purpose of sex, which God intended to have. Sex was given for procreation to continue the human race, and sex was given for pleasure. It was given so that men and women could satisfy through the marital bonds their legitimate desires, given from God. It is a gift of God. It's a gift of God to allow the husband and the wife to express to each other in the most intimate way possible their love for each other. You know what the scripture says? It says, "Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned?" The answer to that is a resounding no, he can't. No matter how pure, how clean, how wholesome, how strong can get around a man is, and if he can get around the stench of pornography, he will get the smell on him. He cannot touch the filth of pornography without getting dirty. Cannot jump into the pool of perversity without getting wet. It will destroy you spiritually. So how do they try to defend it? What is the defense of pornography? There are basically two lines of defense for the pornographer. First is free speech. There are those who say that pornography is protected under the First Amendment. Let me say immediately that the Supreme Court has ruled without a doubt that pornography is not protected under the First Amendment. Indeed, former Supreme Court Chief Justice Warren Burger said in Miller versus California, quote, "This much has categorically settled by the court, but obscene material is unprotected by the First Amendment." But the pornographer says, You violate my rights to freedom of speech. And no one can do that. You violate my rights for freedom of speech. Well, you know what? The reality is, in reality, that isn't true. You see, no one, listen, no one is guaranteed totally free speech in this country. You're not guaranteed totally free speech. You cannot slander someone without being sued. You can't libel against anyone without prosecution. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't be guilty of false advertising. Speech can even be limited if it can be proven that the use of certain speech can entice violence. Isn't that interesting? It's a law. And all these demonstrations that we see that supposedly are peaceful demonstrations. Well, what causes the destruction of property and the beating up of people, even the loss of lives? What makes these rioters? They're not protesters. They're rioters. What speech happened that caused violence? You see, free speech is limited when it can harm someone else. It's limited. And pornography ought to be limited because it's harmful to all involved. And then there's free speech, and then there's censorship. The other side of this argument is that we are practicing censorship. And I want to say, on one hand, I am the first person that will stand up against true censorship in our country. Whenever a country begins to practice real censorship, the first people who go down the tubes are Christian people. But I want to quote from a man named Rio Christensen, who is a professor of political science at Miami University in Ohio, and he said this: there is not a shred of reliable evidence to support the notion that censorship of obscenities or pornography threatens the free expression of political, social, or religious ideas, or that it reprises in any way the freedom of the press. The real truth is that pornography is censorship of the true picture of human sexuality. That's what it proves. Now, let me also say that we, in a sense, also do believe in censorship. The real issue is not do we believe in censorship. The issue is what is going to be censored. If we do not believe in censorship, then we would have just any book on the shelves of our public schools. We would have just anything shown on television 24 hours a day. In fact, the fact of the matter is we do believe in censorship. We simply have to decide what needs to be censored. And finally, the defeat of pornography. How are we going to stem the tide of this filth and this perversion? How are we going to do it? First of all, information. We need to be informed about pornography. We need to be informed about where it is and how it gets here and how we can get rid of it. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There are some people, you know, that are always saying, well, the preacher shouldn't be talking about these matters. He should never mention sex or pornography and those kinds of things from the pulpit because it's just not decent. Well, you know what? Maybe that's one of the reasons we're in this pornographic mess, and one of the reasons why we've got young people experimenting with sex is because the church and the home have stuck their heads in the sand and refused to tell young people what God has to say about sex. Why should we blush? Why should we blush when we talk about something that God created? Why should we be embarrassed to speak about something that God made and that God intends to be used for pleasure? If sex education should take place anywhere, it ought to take place in the home. It ought to take place in the church, working together. Because we care about our young people. Information. Instruction. We need to be teaching our young people, both home and at the church, about sex, about the beauty of sex and the purity of sex. We need to teach them that sex is so wrong before marriage because it's so wonderful after marriage. That makes sense? Say yes. It does. When kids begin to learn about sex from the Bible instead of from the bathroom walls, we will begin to see premarital sex come down and the abortion butchers out of business. Instruction. And then we got to start being indignant. Indignation. We got to start being indignant. We ought to be angry at pornography. We ought to hate the sin just as God hates the sin. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20? It says, woe to those who call evil good and call good evil. That's exactly what pornographers try to do. We ought to fight pornography at the drugstore. We ought to fight pornography in our public schools. Everywhere we see it, we ought to be against it publicly and openly. If Jesus drove out money changers from the temple, how much more should we be driving pornographers out of business, out of our stores, and out of our schools? I'm going to close with this. Dr. Jack Hyles told the story of his son who was sent home with a book that he was supposed to read in school. Dr. Hyles is a man of God. This book was so full, it says, of filthy words and blasphemy that Dr. Hyles took the book back down to the principal's office. He stood there and he said, I want to tell you two things. Number one, my son is not going to read this book. Number two, he is not going to be marked down in his grade for not reading it. The principal started to say, but. He says, no, there's no buts about it. It's settled. I am telling you, he is not going to read this book, and he is not going to be marked down for not reading it. Well, the principal brought in the school psychologist, and this guy tried to, as he said to Dr. Hyles, he said, who was a man of God, he said, now, Dr. Hyles, your son is not going to read anything in his book that he won't read on the restroom walls. You know what Dr. Hyles said? This is a classic. He said this. He said, yes. And when you make the restroom walls required reading, I will be back to see you again. How about that? That's a classic. And then finally, we need initiation. The church needs to get out in the front of fighting sin and winning people to Jesus. It's high time the church quit jumping on the bandwagon and start driving the bandwagon when it comes to fighting immorality and sin in this country. Edmund Burke said it so well when he said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. We need to take an open stance against pornography and pornographic material, filth in our country, for the nation, for the health of our souls, and the welfare of our nation. Pornography must be destroyed. I'm so glad this message is over. You know what? I know maybe someone's saying, well, that has nothing to do with me at all. Well, I'll tell you something. It saddens me to read and to hear how this has even affected the church. So don't be so shocked, because it has. But you know what? Greater is he that's in you than that devil that's in the world that wants to try and rob you of the beauty that God has created. When he created man, why do you think he called him woman? Why do you think he said, whoa, man? That's the only reason why you're here. If Adam would have said, what is that? He didn't. He said, whoa, man. I'm going to call her whoa. God created it. Man perverted it. And he's making billions of dollars in the process. We need to rise up. We need to pray. We need to pray for brothers and sisters that are struggling with this sin and every sin that we've mentioned today. Because you know what? We all struggle. There is none righteous, not even one. I don't see halos on anybody's head in this congregation. We're all sinners, saved by grace. But God wants to do something in our heart. We sang that about being in our heart. We said that as a man thinks in his heart, God wants, he's after your heart. Why do you think Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled? You believe in God, believe also in me. I quoted that at Brother Belcher's funeral service yesterday. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus says. Let not your heart be troubled. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you're struggling with anything that we've talked about today, I'm struggling with this stupid, driving me crazy. But God wants to bless us. He wants us to move forward. He's got so much. He wants that sign, expect a miracle, to be just a common thing. Because God wants to work in every one of our lives. And he can't do it when we're harboring things in our hearts. He said, I want to change your heart. You know what? Kathy and I were talking yesterday about what does it truly mean to be born from above? What does it mean to be born again, being a new creature in Christ? How are you a new creature in Christ when you can go right back to the garbage that you were in a couple years later? Did you really have a conversion? Was your heart really touched? Was it changed? The Bible says old things pass away. Well, you know what? It passed away with a long chain on it. And so many times we drag that old man back into my life. And God says, you know what? You're not truly born again. You're not. You have to have a funeral for that old man, for that old woman. What do you think Paul says? Even Paul, I have to die daily. I have to put that old man to death daily and allow the power of God to work in my life. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday night. How something happened to Paul that changed him completely. I don't want to get into that right now. But it's something that God wants to do in every single one of us. So allow him to do it. If you're struggling with something in your heart, now is the time to get alone. Ask God, say, God, just help me. Forgive me for my part in whatever it is. That is, you know, like David said, search me, God. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Then lead me in the way that's everlasting. That's what God wants to do. He wants to lead you in the way that's everlasting. Take you out of the dirt, out of the pit, out of the mire, and set your feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. Then you'll see your heart be changed. And he will change you. Amen? I'm going to shut up. Let the worship team come up now, and we're going to end with a beautiful song. We're going to allow God to bless us as we worship him with our offerings, our tithes and offerings. But as you know, as they're coming, as we're singing, maybe this is your time. Maybe it's your time to just inwardly say, God, I repent for the thoughts that I have sometimes. I don't even know where they come from. I know where they come from. They come from the same place that I get them from. And we've got to rebuke that enemy that wants to come into our lives and infiltrate our thoughts. It begins with a thought. Bring every thought, Paul says, into the captivity of Christ.